This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
So if you're running a B2B service business today, you're probably grappling with this one big issue, right? How do you stop just, you know, throwing this huge expensive net out there, hoping you snag that one person, the one who can actually sign off on a major deal?
Yeah, it's common frustration.
Totally. And all that marketing budget gets wasted showing ads to people who, let's be honest, have zero say in buying decisions, assistants, interns, maybe general staff.
Right.
It's frustrating. It feels slow. And it's definitely not how you scale a business efficiently. Okay, let's unpack this then. Because for service businesses, it's all about connecting directly with the actual budget holder, the decision maker. Mm-hmm. So the big question is, how do we stop the guesswork? How do we go from that really broad targeting to, you know, hitting the bullseye every time?
That sets us up perfectly for today's deep dive. We're zeroing in on B2B micro-targeting. And this isn't just about, like, picking an industry from a drop-down. It's way more precise. It's a system. Our sources really frame it as the difference between just, well, hoping for conversions and actually planning for measurable revenue growth.
Planning, I like that.
Yeah. So our mission here is to pull out the core strategies from the source material, the actual frameworks that help you home in on those exact high-value prospects. Get this right. And those campaigns that weren't really performing, they can become serious, measurable growth drivers.
Exactly. It's all about efficiency, isn't it? Designing your whole approach, the message, way you put it, so it lands right in front of the one or two people in the company who have the authority and the need.
Mm-hmm. The ones who turn a lead into actual revenue.
Yeah.
And, you know, this shift is so critical because the old ways of targeting, they just don't really cut it anymore.
Yeah.
They tended to rely on pretty surface level stuff, general demographics, maybe a super broad industry category.
Right, like manufacturing or something.
Exactly. And that's just too generic for how complex B2B sales cycles are now. You've got multiple touch points, different influencers.
Too many layers.
Precisely. So what's really interesting about micro-targeting is how much deeper it goes. It uses these sophisticated data stacks to segment audiences,
mm-hmm.
not just on firmographics, which are still essential, we'll get to that,
yeah.
but adding layers like specific job roles, actual buying behavior, and this is key, time-sensitive intent signals.
Intent signals.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds powerful.
It is. That level of precision really makes the difference.
And when you nail that segmentation, the benefits, well, they become really clear, really measurable, which is exactly what, you know, leadership wants to see. The sources lay out four really clear benefits.
Okay.
First, you get way lower wasted spend. I mean, if you cut out all those irrelevant eyeballs, your marketing dollars actually work harder, focusing only on leads that might actually convert.
Makes sense. Less waste.
Second, because the message is tailored, designed for that specific decision maker's needs, you naturally see higher click-through rates, higher conversion rates. It just resonates more.
Right. It speaks their language.
Exactly.
And that resonance, that clicks better, well, it translates directly into better data too.
Okay.
Which brings us to the third benefit, much improved ROI tracking.
Ah, the holy grail, ROI.
Well, yeah. When you segment so precisely, you can actually attribute leads and conversions back to the specific micro segments and campaigns that drove them. You know exactly what's working and what's not.
No more guessing where the good leads came from.
None. Which flows right into benefit number four.
Yeah.
Faster pipeline growth.
Okay. How so?
Because you're not just waiting around hoping the right person stumbles across your generic ad. You're actively putting your very specific message right in front of them, often when they're already thinking about the problem you solve.
Yeah.
It speeds up the whole cycle.
Right. Proactive versus reactive.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've definitely established the why. Precision pays off. Now, let's get tactical. How do you actually build this foundation for precision targeting? Here's where we start digging into the first key strategies from the sources.
Right. And strategy number one, well, it has to be defining your ideal customer profile, your ICP, using very precise firmographic data.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even think about spending a dime, you have to accept that not every B2B company is a potential fit. You need filters, hard filters.
Okay, like what kind of filters are we talking about?
The essentials are things like company size, annual revenue, and the specific geographic regions you actually serve. I mean, think about it. If you sell this really complex, expensive enterprise software targeting a tiny two-person startup overseas, that's just burning cash instantly.
Right.
The firmographics ensure you're targeting businesses that actually have the appropriate budget and scale for whatever it is you offer.
Okay, but let me just push back slightly there. If you only focus on, say, Fortune 500s based on size and revenue, aren't you maybe missing out on those, you know, fast-growing, disruptive startups, the ones that could be your biggest clients in like 5 years? How do the sources handle that risk of being too narrow?
That's a really good question. And the sources clarify it's not just about size or revenue in isolation. It's about aligning the firmographics with your service's specific scale and complexity. So if your service is, say, 100 grand a year, yeah, you absolutely need to target companies with a certain revenue level because they need to have the budget and probably the organizational need for something that substantial.
Okay.
But if your service is maybe designed for rapid adoption, maybe it's more scalable downwards, then your filter changes. You might target companies based on, say, recent Series A funding, which signals growth potential rather than just current size.
Yeah, I see.
It's about being precise about affordability and need relative to what you sell.
That makes a lot more sense. It's nuanced. Okay, so we filter down to the right types of businesses. What's strategy two?
Strategy two is moving beyond the company level to the individual. The sources are really clear on this. So you can't just target managers vaguely.
Right, too broad.
Absolutely. In B2B, especially with complex sales, there are often multiple people involved. The CEO might sign the check at the very end, but the actual decision is often driven by someone else, a champion.
Uh-huh.
So depending on your service, let's say it's a logistics platform, you probably need to reach the COO, maybe the VP of operations, or specific supply chain directors.
Okay.
If you're selling a marketing service, maybe it's the marketing director, but perhaps also the CFO needs to be looped in on the budget side.
Gotcha. Different roles matter for different services.
Exactly. And micro-targeting lets you use platforms, think LinkedIn ads or specialized B2B networks, to refine your audience so your ads only show up for those specific job titles at the right level of seniority within the companies you already filtered by firmographics.
So you're cutting out all the noise, all the employees who don't actually hold the purse strings or have significant influence.
You're eliminating the noise to speak directly to the people who matter.
Okay. So firmographics give us the right companies. Role targeting gives us the right people inside those companies. That feels like a solid foundation.
It is.
But the sources suggest there's another layer, right? Something that really separates the good campaigns from the truly great ones. Here's where it gets really interesting, apparently.
Yes. That brings us neatly to strategy three, which involves using one of the most powerful tools we have now, intent data.
Okay, define that for us, intent data.
So this strategy goes beyond static things like job titles. Intent data actually tracks when individuals, real employees within your target accounts, are actively researching topics, solutions, or maybe even your direct competitors related to what you sell.
Whoa, so they're basically raising their hand saying, I'm interested in this stuff.
Pretty much. They are signaling a need, sometimes quite clearly.
But hang on, let's be specific. What counts as an intent signal? It's got to be more than just a random Google search, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's much more nuanced. And the real insight here, according to the sources, is spotting the difference between, say, early stage intent and late stage intent.
Okay, difference being?
Well, early stage might be someone downloading a very general industry white paper, like top five efficiency challenges in manufacturing. Shows interest, sure, but maybe no immediate plan to buy anything.
Just browsing, kind of.
Kind of. But late stage intent. That's when they're doing things like using a competitor comparison tool on a review site, or they're visiting specific pricing pages, maybe downloading a detailed case study from a solution provider like you.
Ah, that sounds much closer to a decision.
Exactly. That kind of signal often means they're deep in the evaluation phase, sometimes just weeks, maybe days, away from making a purchase decision. Micro-targeting lets you leverage that difference, prioritizing the warmest leads almost instantly.
So what does that mean practically? It gives you a massive head start, right?
A critical head start.
While your competitors are maybe still sending generic emails to people just starting their research, you're putting a highly specific, relevant offer right in front of the person who's actively showing these concrete buying signals.
You move faster, target smarter, and hit them precisely when they're most receptive. It's about timing.
Okay, timing is crucial. But reaching the right person at the right time, even with the right level of urgency, that's only part of it, isn't it?
Correct.
Strategy four, personalization, seems to argue that once you've found that highly specific individual, you absolutely have to say the right thing. The message itself needs to be tailored, surgically tailored even.
Yes. Generic ad copy is basically the enemy of effective micro-targeting.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you've gone to all the effort to segment down to, say, a COO at a 500-person logistics firm in the Midwest,
yeah,
you absolutely must customize that ad copy, the creative, everything, based on their specific industry, their job role, or even the pain points that the intent data suggested they're wrestling with.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, think about the different pressures and priorities of different roles within a company. The sources give a great contrast here. A CFO.
Okay, chief financial officer. Money person.
Right. They are laser focused on the bottom line. Their world revolves around mitigating financial risk, increasing profit margins, showing ROI.
Makes sense.
So they're likely to respond much better to messaging that talks about guaranteed cost savings, maybe avoiding future maintenance costs, or showing a really clear, quantifiable ROI projection.
Got it. Numbers talk to the CFO.
Exactly. But now take the COO, the chief operating officer.
Okay, operations, how things run.
Precisely. They care deeply about how the business runs day to day. They're probably less focused on the abstract margin percentage and more on removing bottlenecks, reducing friction.
So they want different things highlighted.
Totally. They'll likely respond better to messaging about operational efficiency, maybe reduce downtime for equipment or processes, or how your solution offers streamlined integration with their existing systems.
So the service you're selling might solve both problems, but the headline you lead with, the main benefit you push, changes completely depending on who's seeing the ad.
That's the nuance.
Yeah.
And that level of personalization, it drives much stronger engagement. It makes the prospect feel like, wow, this ad was written specifically for me and my problems.
Which, thanks to micro-targeting, it kind of was.
Literally, yes.
Yeah.
You're moving away from mass advertising towards something much more like an individualized commercial message.
Okay, this is making a lot of sense. Let's talk about the final stages, though, because B2B buying cycles, they can be long, right? Months, sometimes longer.
Often, yes.
So we can't just expect every perfectly targeted lead to convert instantly, even if they clicked or showed intent.
No, absolutely not. And that's exactly why Strategy 5, which covers retargeting and nurture, is so essential. This addresses all those prospects who showed interest. Maybe they clicked your personalized ad, maybe downloaded that white paper, but they didn't immediately book a demo or request a call.
The ones that are warm but not quite ready.
Exactly. We absolutely cannot let those high potential warm leads just go cold and disappear.
So what do you do?
Retargeting is key for maintaining visibility. You need to stay top of mind for those decision makers, maybe with slightly different messaging or offers over time. But crucially, you have to pair that visibility with tailored nurture campaigns. Campaigns that recognize where they are in the funnel.
So not just hitting them with the same ad again?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
If someone just clicked an ad once, maybe you offer them more educational content, another relevant article. But if someone visited your pricing page, maybe you retarget them with an offer for a limited time consultation or a more detailed demo.
Uh-huh. Adapting the message based on their previous actions.
Yes. The key is systematically guiding them back into the pipeline, gently bringing them along without being repetitive or, you know, annoying.
Right. Nobody likes being stalked online.
Nobody. It needs finesse.
Okay, so this whole process, it's built on layer upon layer of precision. Filtering companies, targeting roles, using intent, personalizing messages, nurturing leads. It feels like it demands an equally precise way to measure if it's all actually working.
Absolutely critical. If you're going to invest this level of effort and potentially budget into segmenting down to, say, the COO of mid-sized logistics firms showing intent signals.
Yeah.
You absolutely need the reporting to back up every single dollar of that ad spend.
Yeah.
You have to prove it's worth it.
No more vague reports.
Oh, no way. You have to track the key performance metrics across each specific micro segment. This is totally non-negotiable for justifying the expense and proving that ROI we talked about earlier.
So what are the absolute must-track metrics here?
The sources really hammer home tracking three things obsessively for each segment. Your click-through rate, or CTR, basically. How many people who saw the ad actually clicked it.
Okay, basic engagement.
Yep. Then your cost per lead, CPL. How much money did you spend to get that one specific lead from that specific segment?
Right, the cost efficiency.
And finally, arguably the most important, the conversion rate of those clicks or leads you generated. How many actually turned into qualified sales opportunities or ideally paying customers?
Got it. CTR, CPL, conversion rate per segment.
Per segment. That's crucial.
And I guess it's here in the measurement that the real strategic insights emerge, right?
Exactly. This is where the magic happens for optimizing your spend. Let's say you run two campaigns, two micro segments.
Okay.
Segment A targets maybe high-level CFOs.
Uh-huh.
Segment B targets a broader group of marketing directors.
Uh-huh.
You might look at the data and see a really low CPL super cheap leads coming from the marketing director segment. Looks good on the surface.
CPR is better, right?
Not necessarily. Because then you look at the CFO segment. Maybe the CPL is much higher there. Leads cost more individually. Right. But that CFO segment might deliver a 50% higher conversion rate into an actual high-value sales opportunity.
Ah, so the expensive leads are actually worth more in the end.
Potentially, yes. So what does this all mean? It means you get crystal clear insight into which audiences deliver the strongest actual business value and ROI, not just which ads are the cheapest to run per click.
That changes everything.
It does. It gives you real confidence in where your budget is going.
Yeah.
And you know exactly which microsegment, even if it looks expensive per lead, you need to double down on next quarter because it converts better.
It's just the whole conversation from just cost to actual value delivered.
Precisely. From cost cutting to value creation.
Wow. Okay.
So in synthesis, the sources we looked at are really definitive on this. B2B micro-targeting. It's not really optional anymore. It's not just a nice-to-have or an experiment. It's becoming an essential operating strategy if you want to scale efficiently and actually reach the decision-makers who matter without just burning through your budget.
It forces a whole mindset shift, doesn't it? Away from just hoping for quantity, towards demanding quality in every single interaction.
That's a great way to put it. Quality over quantity.
So if you're listening and thinking, okay, I need to start doing this, where do you begin? The sources suggest the most important next step isn't just defining your segment.
Right.
It's defining what success looks like for that segment. Understanding that trade-off we just talked about between cost and quality.
Mm-hmm.
So given that precise reporting is so critical, we wanted to leave you with a final thought to chew on.
Okay.
Imagine you could only show one single ROI chart to your boss, to leadership, to justify next month's ad budget. And you had results from two different micro segments. Which segment's performance would you choose to highlight and why?
Yeah. Would you highlight the segment that shows the absolute lowest CPL, proving you're acquiring leads really cheaply? Or would you choose the segment that shows the highest conversion rate into qualified opportunities, proving you're acquiring the highest quality leads, even if they cost a bit more upfront?
Thinking about which metric truly matters most for your business goals, that will probably tell you exactly where to focus your first micro-targeting efforts.
Are you prioritizing short-term efficiency or long-term conversion quality and value? It's a key strategic question.
Definitely something to mull over. That's our deep dive for today. We really hope this helps you think about swapping that wide, hopeful net for more of a precision scalpel.
And start driving truly measurable results.
Exactly. We'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.